We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. I'm Vance Pollock in the captain seat for Joshua P. Warren, joined by investigator Shelley Wright and producer Sam the Animal Steele. We're going to have a fun-filled night. I've been glancing over some of the news items we're saving for the Dark 30. Oh, the Dark 30. It's going to be quite a challenge. So how's life, Shelley?
It's busy. It's very, very busy. Yes.
You shot me a text and said, we've been so busy at the coin shop today. People at Wright's Coin selling.
They are. They're selling everything. They're spring cleaning. They're settling estates. They're just getting that stuff out of there. They're raising money to, I don't know, pay their taxes maybe. Crazy busy.
Of course, folks need to go down there and visit Wright's Coin Shop for all their coin needs. Wright's Coin Shop is a proud sponsor of Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange, it's out Sweeten Creek, and I still don't remember the address.
It is 1271 Sweeten Creek Road.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road. And right next to that is this weird kind of little paranormal boutique,
yes,
called Nevermore Mystical Arts. Is that right? Is it mystical, yes, or mystic?
Mystical.
Mystical arts. So I did get that right.
Creepy lady that runs it.
Some weird redheaded girl in there. Shelley Wright's own shop, Nevermore Mystical Arts. And let me just tell you, she's got all kinds of neat stuff in there. New inventory all the time?
Are you
always shopping for new stuff to stock?
Always. I never stop shopping. That's the thing. I'm always having to buy new stuff.
Building up a good regular customer base, starting to see familiar faces come around?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Very cool.
And people that listen to the show are regular customers as well.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Check this out, guys. Scientists have found a drug that regenerates teeth, and it could reduce the need for fillings.
Hmm.
Researchers have identified a drug that can regenerate teeth from the inside out, possibly reducing the need for artificial fillings. The drug was previously used in Alzheimer's clinical trials, and it now appears to improve the tooth's natural ability to heal itself. It works by activating stem cells inside the tooth's pulp center, prompting the damaged area to regenerate the hard dentin material that makes up the majority of a tooth. The simplicity of our approach makes it ideal as a clinical dental product for the natural treatment of large cavities by providing both pulp protection and restoring dentine, said the lead author in the trials. In addition, using a drug that's already been tested provides a real opportunity to get this dental treatment quickly into clinics. After a tooth is damaged by things like trauma or cavities, the soft pulp at its center can be exposed, increasing the risk of infection. To prevent that, our bodies create a thin layer of dentine, the hard calcified tissue, not the gum, that makes up the bulk of a tooth, which helps block outside material from making its way inside. But this process is not enough to stop large cavities from exposing the vulnerable pulp, which is why dentists drill out the cavity and pack the area with artificial fillings, a treatment that's worked in the past, but it isn't ideal. The tooth is not just a lump of mineral. It's got its own physiology. You're replacing a living tissue with an inert cement. But this new test trial, regrowing a tooth.
This is one of the better stories that I have heard you read here, because this I'm very excited about. I've heard about this technology for years. Somebody who is not blessed with the best teeth. I have poor tooth genetics. I mean, I was in kindergarten. I had cavities.
Why are you glaring at me?
I'm not glaring at you. I'm just looking at in your direction.
Shelly's lovely teeth over there. Well, my teeth are full of these old silver fillings that they did back in the 70s.
When I just started to teach myself how to do the fillings, I've gotten up until I haven't drilled them out. It's kind of hard to do certain things in your mouth. And like sticking a Dremel in your... You know, there's certain things I haven't done yet, but I can do my own fillings. I can create my own fake teeth, and you wouldn't be able to tell.
He invites friends over. Hey!
We have little parties.
Make
taste.
Take this Dremel.
It makes sense, that dentin thing. It should be something. We're 3D printing cars, for goodness sakes.
True. If we're 3D printing cars, why can't we be growing back our teeth? I have all ideas that this is the medicine of the future that we're hearing about here on Speaking of Strange.
If there is a future.
Oh, yeah, our buddy Stevie Tombstone's coming back to town. I want to drop that on some folks. It'll be next Saturday night. Next Saturday night, January 28th at Irish House Restaurant and Pub. That's where we had our little seance a couple months back. It's a very, very interesting room there. The thing I like about Irish House Restaurant and Pub, all ages. So I took my son out there and saw Stevie Tombstone. Stevie Tombstone, you probably don't know him, but I know him because 25 plus years ago, I started listening to a band he had down in Atlanta, Georgia, called the Tombstones. And they were kind of a psychobilly, dark themes, as the name might imply, sort of, good ghosty sort of material. And Stevie is out in Austin, Texas now. And just a few weeks back, he came through Asheville and played at Irish House. And he liked it. I think he's made some new friends here, so he's coming back, and that's going to happen next Saturday night. No cover, next Saturday night, Saturday, January 28th, 8 p.m. at Irish House Restaurant and Pub. That's at 1341 Patton Avenue. That's the old Barbecue Inn building, pretty near the intersection of Patton and Haywood Road.
For years, our production guru here at the station, Mr. John Anderson, award-winning. You've heard him on commercials.
Sure.
Yeah. He had all the Polaroids at the Barbecue Inn on the wall?
Yeah.
They had one of him on a rocking horse, sporting a mustache and like a Hawaiian shirt. And we tried so hard to get that picture when they closed down, but I wonder what happened to all those pictures.
Wow.
Yeah. Where did they go? It's a mystery. Delve in and investigate.
The mystery of the Polaroid of John Anderson on a rocking horse with a mustache. Okay. We mentioned off air the other week. I thought this was something fun we can just banter about. We got to talking about what I called a fetch or a familiar, and how some people, we were talking a little bit about doppelgangers and the Disney doppelganger last week and everything like that. But off mic, we had mentioned that some people sort of have this spirit or shadow that precedes them, that people will sense when they're coming. My wife's grandfather, they said about him that it would be 5 or 10 minutes before he would show up someplace and people would think they heard his voice or sensed his presence, and it would be 5 or 10 minutes ahead of him. But this shadow or familiar sometimes takes the form of an animal. And I was thinking last week with Friday the 13th and black cats and all that sort of stuff, I was thinking about some of these other animal familiars. Maybe it's not quite the same thing as people call their spirit animals now. Maybe that's a complete different category. But once upon a time, and I revealed that my Chinese zodiac sign is the boar, and I prove that to you here quite often. I was walking late at night on the edge of town, and I thought I saw out of the corner of my eye a motion running. If you've ever seen like a dog, like a Labrador Retriever or a bird dog or something, a hunting dog running as it sniffs the ground, and it's sort of an erratic sort of with its nose down, and it's running while sniffing out the ground. And I sensed something moving like that just a few feet off to my left. And when I glanced, there was absolutely nothing there. But I swear, at first I thought it was a black lab running near me. But the more I thought about it, I think it was a wild black boar running close to me at night. And I was not drinking that night.
Where was that at?
Maybe once or twice. I was in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Oh.
When I experienced that. But that was the first and only time I've experienced the presence of an animal familiar. And then later on, I joked with a friend of mine that my pizza delivery spirit animal, that every pizza delivery guy has a pizza delivery spirit okay. animal, that my pizza delivery spirit animal was a wild boar. But it was taken from actual events. I joke about it now, but I actually sensed that there was an animal spirit. And you know who can tell us all about animal spirits? One Joshua P. Warren. Yes. Because he has written about phantomals.
I was going to say Jack Hanna.
Jack Hanna could tell us about that, too. Oh, goodness. Maybe we can get a chance to ask Josh, because in the segment coming up, the one and only Joshua P. Warren is going to join us on the air from Puerto Rico. So stay tuned to Speaking of Strange.
And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away. Ha ha, they're coming to take me away.
Thank you.
We're back with Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock in the host chair for the fellow who joins us from sunny Puerto Rico, the man himself, Joshua P. Warren. How you doing tonight, Josh?
I'm great. Good evening, Vance. So wonderful to be joining you here from the Bermuda Triangle. Good evening, Sam.
Hola.
Yes, hola, Investigator Shelley Wright.
Hola.
I've been having quite a ball here. Have you guys seen my Facebook page recently? Did you see me posing with a huge set of shark jaws by chance either?
We were just looking at that. Shelley was showing it to us on her phone just during the break a few minutes ago.
That thing was recently caught just right down the road from where my place is here in Puerto Rico. And the funny thing is Puerto Rico has very, very few shark attacks on humans, at least in terms of what's mentioned in the media. I mean, very few historically. But there are some big ones. And I got to tell you, sometimes I would go outside and swim at like 2 o'clock in the morning because the water is so nice and warm. But I went to this, I'm going to call it a pirate bar, because you know, Vance, there are still real pirates out there. And I went to this pirate bar, and the guy who owned the place, this guy is, talk about a bad dude. He takes this little boat out, and he reels in these sharks with just his hands. He's pulling these things in hand over hand, you know, fist over fist. I don't know how he does it. And he's got these shark jaws hanging all over the place. The one you see me posing with there is a 12-foot shark, but he has pulled one in that's up to 18 feet long. And he told me, he was like, man, I would not be out there swimming at night like that anymore. So I think I'm done with that. I got a video I also shot where he takes this pretty fresh set of shark jaws, and which is just sort of sitting there drying out, and he starts bending it around to show how flexible it is. And it's amazing because he said it's kind of like a snake mouth. You can bend it horizontally, vertically. It's a shark mouth is very, very stretchy. It's just one of those things like you watch all these shows about sharks your whole life, but you walk into a place and you talk to a guy who hunts them all the time, and you learn things that you've never heard of before. Have you ever seen a shark's mouth do that before, Vance?
No, I haven't. I've eaten shark.
Yeah?
And that's pretty weird, the way they prepare it in Scandinavia. At least the Viking, the old traditional preparation, is to just bury it in the sand for a few months and let it cure. It's kind of rank and quite potent. It's kind of like taking a shot of ammonia when you bite into some of this cured shark. It's not for the squeamish. I think Andrew Zimmern even gagged when he tried it when he was passing through there. So, yeah, I've eaten the shark, but I've never seen a shark's jaws flex and bend as you're describing. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of cartilage in there. So anyway, Vance, how have you enjoyed hosting Speaking of Strange?
It has been a blast. We're having a fun time in here. I hope that communicates to the listeners. We're just cutting up and having fun, having a good old time.
I have been loving it. I think you guys have just been doing an fantastic job. And you know, Vance, I created this show, Speaking of Strange, 14 years ago this month. And there are not very many shows in the whole world, especially of the paranormal type, that were on the air 14 years ago that are still on the air. I mean, I could go down a whole long list of some that are very surprising that haven't made it. And I'm proud to say that over the past 14 years, this show has always been rated number one in its time slot and its market. And so that also is something that I really want to thank all of the listeners for, because as you know, Vance, we don't do shows like this just to sit around and talk to ourselves. I mean, we're doing it because there are people out there who listen to it and they love it.
That's right. And, I've been an avid listener for 10 or 12 years myself. And I know it's a great thing, and a lot of people have been on board for a long time.
Yes, they have, and I have enjoyed the heck out of hosting this program, but I've got to let everybody know, if they don't know this already, my lifestyle is very different than it was 14 years ago. I travel a heck of a lot more now, obviously, since, you know, now I have this place in Puerto Rico where I'm joining you from now. And I reached a point where I started traveling so much, it became more and more difficult to host this show. And even when I'm hosting it long distance, you have all these technical issues that can cause problems, and it takes forever. And so after 14 years, I looked at my schedule, and I looked at the projects that I was working on, and I almost decided it was time to just throw in the towel and say it's been 14 great years, but I just don't have time to host this show anymore. But then I had a brilliant idea. I've been keeping my eye on you, Vance, and all the success, listen to me, all the success that you've had doing your radio work. And that's when I approached you and said, Vance, how would you like to start doing some hosting on Speaking of Strange? And fortunately, you said, absolutely, I'd love to take a crack at it. You're having a good time. Sam, how do you feel about Vance's hosting capabilities?
Horrible. I think he's just it's been hard to stomach to sit across the table from him and look physically at him has been very difficult. No, he's a peach, I tell you. we get along very well, and we're oddly almost the same height. And
very
I know you guys
weird.
Are giants.
I enjoy his passion for some of the different types of obscureness, like that. I like obscure things, and I learn stuff every week that I don't know about at all, because he's really into some obscure things, and I enjoy learning about those things, you know.
And Investigator Shelley Wright, how do you feel about Vance, since you're sitting right next to him right now?
And he can hear everything you're saying. Love Vance hosting. I think it's wonderful. I also love the fact that we are listening to a lot of surf guitar. That whatever it is fabulous. And we can talk about obscure things that it's wonderful, but it's a little strange standing outside because they're both so tall. And I, of course, am really not at all. That's just weird.
And it's kind of weird not hearing you on the other end of the line, you know, a little bit.
Well, it is odd, but the good news is I'm not going to be going anywhere. I created this show. I own this show. I will continue to be the executive producer of this show. I will call into this show and give reports, or let's say maybe I want to sell my car. I mean, you never can tell. I'm going to continue to criticize you, Sam. Nothing is going to change, really, but I can't do the hosting. It just doesn't work. So, Vance, let me ask you formally, are you ready and willing to take over the duty of hosting Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange?
Regular hosting duties of Speaking of Strange. Josh, it is my honor to respond in the affirmative. Yes. Yes, I'm ready, willing, and able to do that, sir.
We are applauding now all over North America, officially, even out here in the Caribbean. And, I'm so thrilled to hear that, because you're doing a wonderful job. And here's what I want people to understand, if they don't know this already. You and I have known each other for a long, long time. And we have had many adventures in the field. And you have been there at the inception of so many things, for example, the Asheville Mystery Museum. And if anybody just tunes in and listens to you host and doesn't understand exactly who you are, I hope that person will go and listen to some of the podcasts of me interviewing you. And because you're a real researcher, you're an authentic investigator, but you also have this sort of magic dust that sparkles on your shoulders. It's like when you decide to tackle a project, these amazing synchronistic things occur, and it's fascinating to hear you talk about that. And I want everybody to know that not only will I continue being, of course, as involved as possible with the show, and by the way, the real man in charge here is Program Director Brian Hall, and of course I had to pass everything by Brian, and Brian said, Josh, as long as you feel the show continues to live up to your standards, I believe in the show, and, you know, I trust you to do what you whatever you want to do. So that goes to show, I want to give a big shout out to Brian Hall for believing in this show all these years as well.
Certainly, but, and you've got great people behind the scenes working to provide content every week. A lot of people don't realize what happens on the air in 3 hours. Takes a lot more time than that to get it ready to roll, you know, and we've got a great team.
Well, the hard part is making it sound easy and making it sound fun. Yeah, Mobius, he digs up the most obscure, crazy stuff in the world. We have fantastic people out there like Joshua Dendy, who's out there also digging up just the weirdest news to bring to the table. But, you know, when I started this show, Vance, nobody had ever even heard the word podcasting. I don't even think that was around. Now, we have just as many or more people who listen to this program on the internet, people all over the world, as we do listening to the actual terrestrial broadcast that's coming from the towers there in Asheville. And so I want everybody to know, if they don't already realize this, that I also have been doing a podcast, which is a supplement to Speaking of Strange, called the Speaking of Strange Report. And basically what it boils down to is wherever I happen to be in the world, I can take out my computer and a microphone and sit there and give an update directly from anywhere from, say, 15 to 60 minutes is about what they run. There are no commercials. There's very little or no music. And it's just me talking about what I'm up to and what I'm doing. And so actually with this arrangement, people who listen to the show are actually getting even more content than they were before, because my podcasts, the Speaking of Strange Report, are also posted to the podcast page, and they are being put into our digital distribution system that takes the show to iTunes subscribers and that kind of thing. So people are getting more Speaking of Strange than ever. So, Vance, I haven't been keeping an eye on the stopwatch for once, but I think it's probably getting close to break time. Listen, my friend, you are you're the man, and I just want to thank you so much for taking over the hosting duties of this show, freeing me up to do even more research, and of course, I'll be coming on the show as often as possible, but I want everybody to rest assured that this was my idea. I approved of this in every possible way. Everything is good. All the listener feedback has been fantastic, and it's just an honor to have you hosting Speaking of Strange, sir.
Thank you so much, Joshua. Your internal radio clock is working because we are up on that break, my friend. So thank you so much for passing the torch, and we'll be in touch. Joshua
All right,
P. Warren
good.
From Puerto Rico, everyone, on Speaking of Strange.
Between those trees, nobody seems to know. A flickering fire, a flame in the breeze, leaves fall and rises aglow. The glow. The dancing of torches like birds on a wire, watch as they all fade away. Hovering beacons forged from the fire, or maybe a trick our eyes play. Muddy hills whisper tales from the past, stories from lives gone before. A slave seeks his master, a search party's path, an ancient race painted for war. I don't care for ghosts, they do nothing for me. Everyone has their own take on the story.
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, your newly crowned regular host, Vance Pollock here. Thanks, Joshua P. Warren, for coming on and what's it called when you knight someone? Yeah, knighting
someone.
Yeah. That was our friend Jimmy Atkins from down in Lenore with his tune Ghost Lights. He's got a video for that one out there on YouTube too. JimmyAtkinsMusic.com is the guy's site, and he does some good stuff. Ghost Lights bears on the fact that the Brown Mountain Lights story is interpreted differently by just about everyone. Everybody's heard of the Brown Mountain Lights, and everybody's heard a different version of why the Brown Mountain Lights, and very often ghost stories. And so Jimmy and his song there touches on a few of those, and it's quite a nice song, quite a haunting song. JimmyAtkinsMusic.com, Ghost Lights. Check it out on YouTube. The video is pretty cool, too. It Was Insane, the headline reads. Maid of Honor turns Florida.
Oh, now you think you can just ring the bell?
No, I just ring it myself.
Stole the bell
from
Shelly. Huh?
Shelly doesn't even get to ring the bell anymore.
Man, somebody's got an ego.
Sorry, I didn't really. Yeah, I should have read. Shelly had noted this one, a Florida story. Okay, I'm going to do that again. Maid of Honor turns Florida wedding into nightmare. Charlotte County, it was supposed to be the best day of their life. Instead, their maid of honor got arrested and is facing several charges from a wedding day gone wrong. The Charlotte County ceremony has been described as beautiful, but when the reception kicked off, guests said the maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car. The best wedding, the wedding pictures tell the story of a content couple getting married. They had their cake and first dance while the bridesmaid started drinking. She was a mess. She drank almost a whole entire bottle of Fireball, said a guest. She was drunk within 20 minutes to half an hour, said another person there. The bridesmaids said, "We need more booze," and started asking people for their car keys, according to those in attendance. She just went up to the best man and grabbed his keys out of his pocket and jumped in his car. She was backing out in this hijacked car and almost hit the best man, the groom's brother, who grabbed onto the car. She then just took off, and his feet were dragging across the ground behind the car. He had to hit the e-brake. Guests wrestled the woman out of the car. She went back inside, grabbed up a big bottle of Captain Morgan and just guzzled it like it was water. Then they say she got violent. As soon as I turned around, she came up and cracked me upside the face, said one of the people there. She just went completely nuts. She was swinging, swung back, and before he knew what was happening, the deputies were called. It was insane, absolutely insane, said others, as she started throwing cake at everyone and exposed her breasts. It's not quite the dark 30 hour, but exposed herself to those in attendance. When deputies arrived, they said the woman claimed to be having an asthma attack and started shaking as if she were having a seizure, and they took her to the hospital, where she climbed up on the emergency room bed and exposed herself to deputies and said, "The party is just starting." Two medics ran in to try and get her to lay down, and she kicked her full bedpan at them. According to the sheriff's office, the whole room was just a mess. The bride had her to be maid of honor, and it was a bad decision. She was more the maid of dishonor, says one wedding attendee. While the woman was supposed to be the bride's best friend, the bride's sister said the two are no longer friends or even speaking. The arrest is the woman's ninth in the county, and she faces charges of larceny, battery, grand theft of a motor vehicle, and violation of probation. Have you ever seen a wedding guest go completely nuts, Shelley?
Never. But, you know, I don't even like going to weddings, but I could totally see you going to that one. Give it 5 or 10 years. Once the shock has worn off, it will be the best wedding story ever.
She played it up. I've seen people kind of overdo it at the weddings before, but not to the point that it ended up, with anyone being arrested.
You know, statistically speaking, they'll end up divorced in probably less than 2 years. Statistically speaking.
Well, I've got a good friend who I was best man at his wedding, and he and his wife are still married like 20 years later. But here's what the funny thing was. His nephew was there at the wedding reception. He was like 17 years old. And they gave him the champagne, what do you call it, the flute. They gave him the glass of champagne for the toast. And we set him up because another friend of mine who was a deputy sheriff was at the reception. So after the champagne toast, my friend the deputy went over to him and flashed his badge at him and said, "Son, I'm going to have to give you a ticket for underage drinking where your parents," and shook him up a little bit and then said, "Just kidding."
Is that abuse of the
to,
shield?
To show the badge? I guess it could be, but nobody was going to let it outside
blood,
of this
no
room.
Foul.
What happens at the reception stays at the reception.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's my wedding.
What was your wedding like?
My wedding was pretty good. There was like a 3-day stag party beforehand that was a little crazy. There
Watch
was a lot
stag
of
stag films.
There was a lot of drinking going on beforehand, and I actually my hand was broken from a bar fight on my wedding day. Yeah, and it was looking like
from
Kingpin. No, luckily it was the right hand. But it was looking like the hand from Kingpin, you know, and my buddies were kind of making fun of it. And I went bowling with a broken hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like Kingpin.
So, yeah.
Your wedding was like Kingpin.
So did you get married here or in Iceland?
In Iceland.
Yeah. Is that where the rotten shark came in?
Yeah. Well, the rotten shark, among other things. I was over there 4 years, guys. I got entire hours of speaking of strange based
Can't
on my
wait
Iceland
to hear
experiences.
Them.
It is Speaking of Strange, Asheville.
Just don't belong.
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, the final minutes of Hour 1. Coming up next hour, we're going to hear from Frank Thompson about the 1921, silent, of course, in 1921 motion picture shot here in Asheville, Conquest of Canaan. Joshua P. Warren screened it for 100 or so of you here in Asheville a few years back in clips, snippets. But what we're going to be seeing tomorrow night at Grail Movie House promises to be the most complete and coherent version of that film. Beautiful scenery. I just love those old buildings around Asheville. When I'm thinking about Conquest of Canaan, I believe there are only two notable buildings from that movie, 1921, still standing. Those are on the south side of Pack Square, the Legal Building and the Commerce Building.
We would have our band practices in the Legal Building on the fifth floor.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. It was a cool building. We would sneak around up there, get on the fire escapes, go up to the top. You get over to the Jackson Building, get up to...
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's some old architecture over there. I think those are, first decade of the 1900s, Legal Building, Commerce Building, 1909.
Did you ever notice on the sidewalk underneath the Jackson Building, you don't notice it at street level, but there's like a mosaic in tiles...
Of a bullseye?
Mm-hmm. Of a bullseye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard the rumors that the bullseye is put there to signify people taking a suicidal swan dive from the top of the Jackson Building. Do you know the difference between a gargoyle and a grotesque?
Well, a gargoyle is... one of those things that's on the buildings.
Right.
And it's like...
I'm talking, both of these are architectural terms.
So a grotesque is an architectural term?
Yes.
One's male and grotesque is female.
Now, a gargoyle actually serves as a water spout.
Oh.
And a grotesque is simply a monstrous decoration. You know, so if it's a decoration that doesn't actually spit water when it rains...
Do any of the ones downtown spit water?
That's what I'm wondering. The one high on the Jacksonville building that pokes out there.
That one does.
I think that is a water spout. I think that's a true gargoyle.
Huh.
And that might make it the only real gargoyle. They've got something like gargoyles on the Biltmore State.
What about how does that transfer to gargoyles like in the mythos of out of the architectural world and into the mystical world, like gargoyle. I'm picturing gargoyles in the, like a Tolkien novel or something, or like, are there gargoyles in the mystical world?
There was that cartoon series. Gargoyles. Did you ever see the cartoon series Gargoyles? You probably find like some of that stuff in the bins, in the thrift bins. Look for some gargoyles junk. I would like to collect some centurions. There were several of these monstrous cartoon animated series in the late 80s, early 90s, and I swear there was a gargoyles one.
There was Gargamel on the Smurfs.
Oh, there was Gargoyles, the animated series. You'll have to keep an eye out for that one.
I will.
Listen to this. NASA plans to explore a $10 quadrillion asteroid that could cause the world's economy to collapse.
Is that the cost that it would the damage it would cause, or the, is that the
asteroid
what it's worth?
Is valued at?
Yeah.
$10 quadrillion. Wow.
Is that even
16 Psyche? I don't even know that number. How many zeros in that? It's a huge chunk of metal made up of iron, nickel, and precious metals. On Earth, the iron would be worth $8,072 quadrillion pounds sterling. That's roughly
now
10
you
million
do
quadrillion. Now you got to find out what quadrillion is. It's
okay.
A one with how many zeros?
Okay. It's a, let's see, 15th power.
Jeez. NASA plans to visit the asteroid in 2023, but does not plan to bring it back to Earth. If it did, its value would play havoc with commodity prices and destroy the world's economy. It may be 230 million miles away from Earth, but this asteroid could be worth a small fortune. Assuming the market for asteroid materials is on Earth, this could cause the value of precious metals to plummet, completely devaluing all holdings, including those of governments and all companies involved in mining, distributing, and trading such commodities. I think maybe that's far off in the distant future, but what if a big asteroid made of solid gold were to land on Earth and disrupt the...
I think an asteroid made of solid gold would be worth much less than an asteroid made out of whatever asteroids are made out of.
You may have Shelley. A point there.
I can't even wrap my mind around this right now. You know, there would have to be the assaying of said...
Well, you'd have to smelt. You'd have to get out the old smelter.
Oh, goodness. Well, I don't think we have to worry about the $10 quadrillion asteroid disrupting the world economy.
We'll see.
We'll see if we live long enough. This has been your first exciting hour of Speaking of Strange. Stay tuned.